This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And if you head on over to Minute with Mary now through December 31st, you can actually see a ton of my items between 20 to 40% off. I've got mask-proof lip stains. I have my waterproof epic mascara, which, by the way, if you watch the movie Soul on Disney Plus, you're gonna need it. You're gonna need it, all right? Tons of great stuff there. So once again, head on over to MinuteWithMary.com. Click shop now. Remember, I don't just podcast, but I also love to help you feel beautiful inside and out, and it's a way to support the pod. Yep. Is actually by heading to MinuteWithMary.com. All right, on that note,
by the way, Disney Plus, yeah. Hashtag not a sponsor, just just throwing that out there. Let's do it.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I would never use a time turner to take multiple classes at the same time.
Of course you wouldn't.
Would not freaking happen. Just wouldn't do it.
I wonder if she's able to utilize the time turner for extra study sessions as well. I would hope so. Yep. Like for each extra class, you can just throw in a couple extra hours, maybe a nap. How many extra days does time-wise Hermione spend at school? We don't know.
Oh my God. We do not know. You know, she immediately gets this.
Oh,
just absolutely.
And good for her. Good for her. So we, of course, are tackling Chapter 6, Talons and Tea Leaves. And, you know, it's funny because there were a lot of things here that a lot happens in this chapter. We're starting to get into some big chunky chapters here in the Potterverse. But
yeah,
one can't forget this. My dear Professor Trelawney's huge eyes open dramatically. You have the Grim. The what? He could tell that he wasn't the only one who didn't understand. Dean Thomas shrugged at him, and Lavender Brown looked puzzled, but nearly everybody else clapped their hands to their mouths in horror. The Grim, my dear. The Grim, cried Professor Trelawney, who looked shocked that Harry hadn't understood. The giant spectral dog that haunts churchyards. My dear boy, it is an omen. The worst omen of death.
And she's not wrong, by the way. Definitely not wrong, because the Grim is following Harry around.
True.
And, of course, we all know that it's one Sirius Black. But still, nonetheless, it is the Grim. And what Sirius brings to the table is kind of death-related in many different ways. And she's not wrong that hashtag Harry's not going to die. I mean, Harry's going to die. So,
spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
So we're going to get into this really full, jam-packed episode. It's only September 1st in this book. I mean, September 2nd.
Yeah.
It's literally the first day of classes. Hang on tight, spider monkeys, because we are delving in. Now, before we get into this episode, we, of course, want to remind you that you can check out all of the other shows, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, that we've got going on at maryandblake.com. You can find us in all sorts of social media just by searching Mary and Blake. We want to take a moment to really, really thank all of our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. If this podcast brings you joy, if you listen to us on your way to work, while you wash the dishes, while you walk the dog, while you're going to bed, and we bring a smile to your face, if you can donate to Mary and Blake Media by heading to jointhenerdclan.com. Know that it means so very much to us. This actually is like my full-time job, this and Minute with Mary.
Yep.
So know that you allow Blake and I to be able to create content. And speaking of creating content, drumroll please. We have an announcement to make before we get into the Potterverse.
Wait.
No?
What?
We're not announcing?
Oh, no, we are. Okay, sorry. I thought...
are we not?
I thought we were waiting.
Oh, we're waiting.
Oh, no, no, no. Announce it. Do announce it, please.
Go for it.
No, no, you go ahead. You're the master. No, the master at arms. Yes, you are. So go ahead. Just do it.
I didn't know we were not announcing. We're announcing something really soon. So keep your eyes
on. Do it. Announce it. I thought you were waiting till... I thought you were waiting like for later on, but no. I want you to do it. Go ahead.
Okay. we're adding two new podcasts to the Mary and Blake Media podcast lineup.
Yes.
One of which is coming a little later.
Yep.
And one of which is starting Tonight,
baby. Yeah. So the first one that we're adding later, it was actually voted on at jointhenerdclan.com. All the nerds got together and decided that they wanted a podcast about The Last Kingdom, which I'm very, very excited about. It's one show that I have yet to see. And, I'm told that it's excellent. And I'm ready to go for it, man. The next announcement, and that will be happening, I believe. We've scheduled it out after This Is Us. Once This Is Us is completed, we will dive head first into The Last Kingdom. So we don't have a title for the podcast. We don't have artwork for it or anything quite yet. But we will be diving into that. So when England is born, we will be covering it. And so... that's awesome. However, the big surprise is that, Mary and I have had some conversations with some listeners, and we got a chance to see it. We got a chance to watch it, and we're really in on it. So we're going to be podcasting Bridgerton. We will be podcasting Bridgerton, and we will be doing our first episode tonight, right after the Potterverse. It will not be live. And it may be live going forward, but the first episode will not be live. It will be up on your Apple Podcasts app. I would say probably within the next couple of days. So if you want to listen to our episodes over the next couple of days, please go to maryandblake.com and check out Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. Marvin, are you excited about Bridgerton?
I am.
Yeah, me too.
It looks really pretty. Yeah. And, I reached out to Blake because I said so many of our friends online, they're just gushing about this show that I wish I could binge because, we're looking for the next kind of binge show. We're looking for the next thing to talk about to transport us. We love period dramas.
Yep, absolutely.
We love things that involve use of color, whether it's lack of or intense, amounts of it.
Yep.
So we're excited about it, but enough of that.
Yeah, let's get into some Potter. Let's do it, shall we?
Yes.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
All right, so here we are in Chapter 6 of The Prisoner of Azkaban, and... basically, as I said earlier, this is only September 2nd. This is the first day of classes. We get with the main three to hang out and go to divination, transfiguration, and the care of magical beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we get to see three different teachers, and it's never a dull moment. I tell you that. Never a dull moment. Harry gets told by Trelawney that he's going to die, and Malfoy picks a fight with Buckbeak.
Hashtag, let's just say it out right now.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. Not great at all. You don't pick a fight with a hippogriff. Come on, man. What are you doing?
I feel like singing the Weird Sisters. Can you dance with a hippogriff? Na 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 na. You obviously don't watch Goblet of Fire enough.
No, I do not. Sorry, I got nothing.
You literally don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
When all the kids are rocking out at the
Yule
Ball.
Okay, after the dance and the whole thing.
And Flitwick is crowd surfing.
Yes,
na,
okay.
Na,
yep.
Na, 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 na. Oh my gosh, Blake.
Sorry.
Your nerd card may be revoked.
No, don't you dare say it's going to be revoked. Because I know some serious nerd things that you just have zero clue about. Okay?
I mean, you are doing a Potter podcast and you didn't know the Weird Sisters quote.
It's a valid point.
It's all good.
That's
all right, so let's get into this episode.
First of all, Sir Cadogan, apparently...
Sir Cadogan.
Cadogan, Cadogan, whatever. It's all the same.
What do you mean it's all the same? When our child was asked to create a gingerbread man and to decorate him, he chose for him to be a British knight and named him Sir Cadogan.
That's
and
true.
You didn't know who Sir Cadogan was, so you phonetically spelled it out.
I put Kid Duggan.
And that's why I just thought it was so cute. I was like, you thought he made up the name.
I did. I
you
just
were
thought...
like, wow, our son is so brilliant. He made up the name Sir Cadogan as a British, an English knight.
Right?
And I'm like, wow, it has been a while since Blake has read these books.
Oh, man. Well, he ain't in the movie. And I,
no?
And I, like, how would I know how to pronounce it if I hadn't seen it in the film?
Maybe you listen to the audiobook since it's playing in our house 24/7. Who knows?
sure, fine, whatever.
I was actually reading this chapter to our kids before they were supposed to be asleep. I actually have my little lass in my hands right now. Yep. So that didn't work. But he listens to the Jim Dale audiobook version, and there are a few words that are different. Just a couple of words that are different in this chapter. Mm-hmm. He called me out on it.
Did he really?
He has, no joke, books 1 through 4 memorized. And if I mess it up, if I just like glance over a word, no, Mom.
That's
it's
not
this.
It.
That isn't how the narrator says it. Okay. All right. So,
all right, calm down, nerd.
So, Sir Cadogan. What about Sir Cadogan?
Apparently, he is supposed to be actually a knight of the round table and was buddies with Merlin, of all people.
Yeah.
So, like, holy smokes about that.
That's one of my favorite quotes of this chapter. Farewell, cried the knight, popping in his head into a painting of some sinister-looking monks. Farewell, my comrades in arms. If you ever have a need of noble heart and a steely sinew, call upon Sir Cadogan. Yeah, we'll call you, muttered Ron as the knight disappeared. If we ever need someone mental.
Ron, just drop it in from the clouds.
The Weasley brothers bring it in this chapter.
Oh, yeah.
You've got that. And then you've got, of course, Fred and George, you know, who are getting after Malfoy. Because Malfoy, of course, is picking on Harry. This all just happens after Harry had the run-in with the Dementor. And they say, that little git, George said calmly. He wasn't so cocky last night when the Dementors were down on our end of the train. Came running into our compartment, didn't he, Fred? Nearly wet himself, said Fred with a contemptuous glance at Malfoy.
Yep. Awesome. It's great because, you know, Malfoy fancies himself as a tough kid. And he's got all these people around him and they all kind of cower to him yet. And he makes fun of Harry. And, you know, even like Pansy Parkinson gets in on the deal here and starts ranking on Harry. And yet this kid was the one that almost wet himself when the Dementors came to his compartment. So, by the way, Mary's not touching the mic. That is our little lass. For those of you who are listening on the podcast app and not watching live, our little lass has joined us and she's wearing a unicorn sleep mask. I think she's been scared. She had a long day today. Very, very long day.
It was like a walk through the Forbidden Forest for us today.
It wasn't a walk. We call that a trek.
Yes.
care to amplify on that trek, Mary?
We'll have a wee bit of story time. I know that this chapter is very, very long, and there's lots of 3 different classes that we have to get through. But basically, sure. I like to go on hikes with my family, and I asked Blake to take an hour of his time just to like come outside with us because we've all been going stir crazy. It's been a little cold. We've just been eating Christmas cookies and playing with Legos for a few days straight. So I said, we need to get outside and get some fresh air. He pretty much begged me just for a walk around the neighborhood, to which point I was like, no, let's just find a nearby trail. So I found a nearby trail that I hadn't visited before. First problem. And then we followed the directions on the All Trails app, parked, not in a parking lot, just like where the All
just
Trails
on the side
app
of the
told
road.
Us to go.
Sure.
And we went and we just started walking. And it was a really nice walk. Along the way, though, every person we passed, including dogs, were wearing orange vests. Because I guess it's turkey hunting season right now in Rhode Island. And I was wearing all black and Blake was wearing navy blue. So that wasn't wise.
Yeah, not a smart choice.
But we just kept trekking deeper into the woods. And I'm following the app and it's telling me, you know, okay, you're going to go around this loop, around this lake, and then you're going to end up at the parking lot. Awesome. Perfect. Except we didn't park in a parking lot. And I didn't realize that until we walked to the parking lot and I turn on my regular map app and it shows me my car is on the other side of the lake.
A big, giant lake.
That took us already an hour and a half to walk around. So we walked back and we took different routes and many of those routes were mini rivers because the snow has recently just melted.
Yeah.
And so what we're supposed to pass were no joke frozen rivers or real rivers. Only my little lass and I wore boots and yeah, it was, yep.
We were stepping in rivers, crossing lakes and
our little lass stepped in such deep mud that she lost her boot. She got sucked into 5 inches of mud. I had to pull her out, pull out the boot.
Our son fell into a river, yeah. Like a little creek.
This was no joke. So if we're a little off today for today's podcast episode, that's why. But it was an adventure. And once we got to the once we got to the car, the kids were like, that was the best hike ever. I'm like, well, that is not what you were saying 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, sure it is, kid.
And poor Blake, who had all these plans to just go on a little hike around the neighborhood with the family and then come back and do all of his work and do some yoga and a workout. Yeah, didn't get any of that.
Didn't do a single thing of that. It's okay. It happens.
Okay. So anyway.
My legs are jelly right now. It's fine. 4 hours, 5 hours.
Let's hang out hiking. With Sybil Trelawney. That was
Dude,
me.
Trelawney is wild.
Oh, I love her.
Trelawney is wild because she just tells it like it is.
I don't want to go down those stairs.
Yeah, like and if you have the site, great. If you don't, you don't. If you have it and you do. If you don't, you don't. Uh-oh, what happened? What's going on?
What do you want to say? You can say it. You can talk right in here. No?
No? Okay.
Our little lass wants it to be known that she loves Trelawney, too.
Oh, she loves Trelawney. Oh.
You would fit right in with Lav Lav.
Oh, man.
So, you know, she gets to start things off with a pretty cool exercise. You know, you can tell that all the teachers, they're pumped that it's September 2nd. Mm-hmm. They're like, all right, this is the day. This is a brand new year. We're going to blow the socks off with everybody. Mm-hmm. Trelawney's got her teacup thing. McGonagall's got her whole cat schmat thing. Like, what else? Going to like get applause. Even Hagrid gets in the action thinking he's going to get all of these hippogriffs. It's going to be great. And I got to tell you, Trelawney gets so hated on, and yet, you know, reading it through this time, she gets a lot of stuff right.
What do you mean?
So right away, she says to Neville, after you've broken your first cup, would you be so kind as to select one of my blue pattern ones? I'm rather attached to the pink. That happens. Neville breaks two cups.
Yes, but it's kind of like the Matrix when Neo visits the Oracle and she says, just pass me that and don't worry about breaking it. And he's like, what? And he breaks the plate or he breaks the cup or whatever. And he says, oh, and she says, oh, you want to bake your noodle even more?
So you think it's the secret.
Would you have done it if I hadn't even said it?
Who knows? I mean, but even that being said, law of attraction, she's totally down with this, right? She's like, your future is what you make it.
I think she invented the law of attraction. Like, she's the ghostwriter of the secret.
And then even Ron, he has this stuff where he sees the bowler's hat, you know, and Harry has some issues with fudge later on in the life.
True.
And then he says a windfall, unexpected gold. Harry gets unexpected gold through the Triwizard Tournament riches that he gets at the next book.
Also true.
Also, he gets inheritance from Sirius. Harry does get unexpected gold. So that in and of itself is right too. And the Grim. Yes, not necessarily the death omen, but a dark dog is following Harry around. It is a person involved in his life. So...
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm...
And you could argue that Sirius helps put him on a path to where he has to confront Voldemort, which, again, hashtag spoilers, you know, ends up in the Grimm, you know, technically. So, is she wrong? No. But, like all good mediums or all good people who are psychics, they speak in enough vague terms so that when something is right, it clearly is them. And when something is wrong, it says, oh, well, you misinterpreted it.
So, I did love Harry, you know, because everyone's like looking at his cup and it looks like a Grim if you do this, but it looks like a donkey, says Seamus Finnegan. And then Harry just is done. He's like, this is supposed to be my first day of class. This is the first class. This is 9 a.m., first day of school. Harry says, when you've all finished deciding whether I'm going to die or not. Yeah. And then Trelawney's like, yeah, we're done with the lesson.
Yeah, we're done.
So this stinks. I mean, Harry's been looking forward to this so much. He had the Dementor situation just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now this is how he starts his day. Not the best start to school.
I also like how Hermione totally hates on divination.
Yes.
She just can't stand the fact that it doesn't necessarily take book smarts to excel in divination, something that she is full of book smarts, but it's just a feeling. It's just the sight. If you got it, like I said, you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. And Hermione, definitely don't.
You'll forgive me for saying so, my dear, but I perceive very little aura about you. Very little receptivity? Is that how you
receptivity?
It is?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, to the residences of the future. Oh, rah, rah. I mean, but let's be real. Hermione is not into that. So that's okay.
Yeah, no.
Some people believe in that kind of stuff.
She's got her own thing going on. It's fine.
But then, of course, they get to go to Transfiguration, and McGonagall does her cat thing. Now, this is the second time in the books that we have seen McGonagall as a cat.
Yes.
We first saw her on Privet Drive when she was awaiting baby Harry. Of course, we got to see pretty much this bippity-boppity-boo, I'm a cat in the Sorcerer's Stone in the movie.
Yes.
But not in the book. So I just love how McGonagall, who we know is just this very stern, stoic teacher, is so shocked that she says to this class of 13-year-olds, really, what's gotten into you all today? Not that it matters, but you know it does.
Of course it does.
But that's the first time my transformations not got applause from a class. Like, rather than just say, what's gotten into all of you? She literally tells them, this is the first time I haven't gotten applause. I live for September 2nd.
Where is my applause?
Some people like Christmas. Some people like their birthday. I like September 2nd, 9 a.m. for the third year's class of Transfiguration.
That applause gets me through the year, okay? But she, I love how she knows exactly what it is. All right, who's going to die this year?
Yep. Yep. Oh, Harry? Oh, okay. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. That's great. That is awesome. Uh-oh, we're getting secrets now.
Oh, yes. Our little lass wants us to know that she also loves Neville and Hermione.
Oh, who do you love most, Neville or Hermione? Well, speak into the mic.
I like Hermione.
You like Hermione the best? Me too.
Why do you like Hermione
the
best?
I mean, she's not my favorite, but I can dig her.
Hermione is my favorite because...
I thought you and I had the same favorite.
Yeah.
Who's Mama's favorite?
Hagrid, and I still like Hagrid, too.
Oh.
They're my two favorites.
Nice. And
they're my favorite friends.
They're your favorite friends? Oh,
that's very sweet.
So sweet.
Very sweet. Go to sleep.
Go to bed.
Speaking of Hermione, we get a couple of references about how jam-packed her class schedule is, because Hermione is very good at school, right? Yeah. First one is when Ron's looking over her shoulder and says, they've messed up your schedule. Look, they've got you down for about 10 subjects a day. There isn't enough time. And then second of all, we've got while they're sitting down eating lunch, and Hermione says, that lesson was absolute rubbish, meaning the divination to my arithmetic class. And Ron says, what is she even talking about? She hasn't been to another arithmetic class yet. So two references.
She got three classes at 9 a.m. How is that possible?
Yeah.
So again, we know that something is up with Hermione here. We don't know what it is. And it would be hard to guess what it would be, because it has to deal with time travel. And you would never expect time travel in a book like this. I mean, granted, we are in the Wizarding World. Time travel, at least in the Wizarding World, is possible. But still, you probably wouldn't be thinking of that off the jump if you're reading the book, you know, straight on the first time. So, you know, the author is showing you something is up right away, and she's not even being very sneaky about it. You just don't have enough information to complete what would be the mystery of how Hermione is taking all of these classes.
Agreed. Agreed. We then, of course, get the cherry on top, the creme de la creme, the most interesting of the lessons, dare I say, of the day.
Sure.
With Hagrid, who doesn't get to be called Professor Hagrid. I feel so bad for him.
I know, right?
But then again, he gets sloshed in front of three 13-year-olds. And, you know, maybe he doesn't quite earn the professor name just yet. But of course, yeah, he comes out, as I said earlier, with a bang, really wanting to impress the students, comes out with several hippogriffs, and has a pretty neat exchange, you know, teaching the kids to be respectful of the hippogriffs. And, you know, Harry, Ron, and Hermione are brave enough, and Harry's the first one to actually pet the hippogriff, and then... take it for a ride. And it's not this valiant ride that we get to see in the movies, but it still gets its point across. And what's cool is that all of the students get to go, because there's so many hippogriffs, all the students get to go and pet them and meet them. And Draco actually had done the right thing at first because he was actively petting the hippogriff.
Right, right.
He was actively petting Buckbeak. But then...
Our little ass has the habit of touching the microphone, just like her mom.
And then, yeah, but then he makes the decision to call it names. I wonder if he was just doing, like, the way that it comes off in the book could be one of two ways. That they weren't paying attention and he just says this stuff because he didn't hear Hagrid say, you cannot insult it. Mm-hmm. Or if he was paying attention and he just kind of wanted to make a mockery of the class and see what happened.
That's kind of the way that I interpret it, which is he just doesn't have respect for, and he's never really shown respect to any of the teachers that are at the school, except for Snape. Even McGonagall. Like McGonagall, I think... he doesn't really give her a hard time, but he definitely does not have any respect for the authority that Hagrid has. And after he gets injured, he's, oh, my dad's going to hear about this, which would imply that his dad still has power in the structure of Hogwarts and thereby the Ministry of Magic, which would then even suggest that the Ministry of Magic, again, there's still some stuff that is happening in the Ministry of Magic that you would not want to trust them. And, you know, in this chapter, there's a bunch of this duality. It's, you know, it's the respect for Buckbeak, and Harry shows that respect. Hagrid shows that respect. Draco does not show that respect. Even McGonagall, when she is teaching the lesson about the animagus and how she can do a transfiguration. She's going from human to a cat. And the animagus lesson comes into it much later on in the book, obviously, but it highlights the wizarding world versus the muggle world. But then another really big thing happens here. Last chapter, we talked about the Dementors being the sign of depression. It's representative of depression. And that is not us making that up. That is a known fact, something that the author has announced and has proliferated throughout the Harry Potter fandom, which is really great for that indication. But in the very next chapter, we have the opposite of the Dementors. We have the opposite of depression, and that is Buckbeak. That is the Hippogriff. And Hippogriff is representative of life and respect and honor and appreciation. And I just find that excellent because you have to respect life. You have to bow and you have to treat it with respect. You can't insult it. And the depression, the Dementors don't care who you are. It doesn't care about respect. It doesn't care about how much you... how well or how hard you try. Having these two entities fight off of each other, well, not fight off of each other, but in contrast to each other in one chapter right after the next is very interesting. And again, it shows the quality writing that the author utilizes to make her points about depression and also at the same time the respect for life through the lens of Buckbeak. What do you think about that, Marvin?
I think it is. I think it's quite interesting. I think you said to have them for two chapters back to back. Couple of things that I was left with from this chapter that I don't feel like get solved and I'm just wanting to throw out there.
Sure.
Why was Arthur Weasley ever at Azkaban for a day?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right?
Don't know.
Like, was there a rogue toaster that was enchanted? Arthur Weasley went to Azkaban for one day and said it was a bad experience. Yeah, yeah. Arthur Weasley, like, God bless him, but he's not a guard.
Yeah.
He's not, what's going on there? And then, yeah, as I said, poor Hagrid, to be so upset, you were talking about before with the governors, possibly, you know, leaning towards a certain way because of Lucius Malfoy. Obviously, it still shows that he has so much influence over the board, mm-hmm. over the government. And Hagrid is just so distraught It's just the end of September 2nd. He thought it was going to be a great day, and
a kid gets hurt. And it's a Malfoy. and he's probably naive enough to think that whatever Malfoy says is going to come true.
Yes.
Like, that is what it is. And
I don't think it's naivete of Hagrid. I think it's the truth, knowing that this is a very powerful wizarding family. And so sad that he drinks like a bucket of who knows what.
Yeah.
And Hermione calls him out and says, like, I think you've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
And I do always find it interesting how often Hagrid does drink or is drunk in front of the people, in front of the students, in front of, you know, the children in some aspects, but really this wonderful trio that he becomes very close with. And yet he sobers up when mm-hmm. she says that, when she kind of calls him up, he's like, yep, you're right. Like he doesn't say it, but he goes out and he dunks his head in the water.
Right. Right. And poor Hagrid, right? Just alone in his hut, getting sloshed because some kid acted like a dink and did what he did. And he thinks that, Hagrid thinks he's going to get in trouble for it. I think it speaks a little bit to Hagrid and his crutch of how he's trying to cope with the whole situation.
I would not say that. I do think that Hagrid has a wee bit of a drinking problem.
Yes.
But we also have to realize that this is a grown individual who has lived ashamed of the fact that he was kicked out of school after his third year. He's a half giant, so he's always seen as someone who can't fit into any community. He is the groundskeeper and lives outside of the castle, unlike all of the other people who work for the school.
Sure.
So, if he needs a little fire whiskey from time to time, I think he deserves it.
Is he drinking Sassenach whiskey? That's the real question. For those of you listening to our Outlander podcast, you'll know that our review of Clanlands Chapter 2 was not
sponsored by Sassenach whiskey.
Not sponsored by Sassenach whiskey. In fact, I don't think it'll ever be sponsored by Sassenach whiskey.
Enough.
Just throw that up there.
All right.
All right. Got anything else you want to say about this chapter,
Maggie?
That's
really it.
All right, great. It's time for Different Perspective. And since your Different Perspective is always much better than mine.
No, it's not. You can do this one.
No.
I've got a little lass in my arms. It would be better for you to do it.
All right. Fair enough.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
I think I'm going to be McGonagall in this one. And I'm going to be McGonagall only because I think you're right. I live for September 2nd.
Right?
The best part of my year is September 2nd. If you want to argue that maybe it's the first Gryffindor Quidditch match, I'll have a conversation.
Okay.
I'll have a conversation about that. But really, it's September 2nd because I get to show off my one, like, really, really good talent. And that is I get to turn into a pretty convincing cat.
Minnie, come on.
What do you mean?
Tell me more about this cat situation.
Oh, no, I get to turn into a pretty convincing cat. And I impress every single student every year. And do you know how hard I have it every single year? I have to deal with Potter. I have to deal with Weasley. And I got to deal...
All of them.
...with Granger.
All of the Weasleys.
They're in my house. You don't see those dingbats going to any other house. You don't see those kind of kids in Hufflepuff. Oh, no. They got to be in Gryffindor of all the houses. And I'm the one that has to go in there and take all of the guff from all of the other teachers. Why aren't you punishing Potter? Why aren't you punishing Weasley? Why aren't you punishing Granger? Because if that were my house, those kids would have been expelled by now. And I got to deal with it. And I'm the one that has already this guilt baked in. Because I saved that kid. I saved him. And yes, I may or may not have cheated by allowing him to be my seeker. I may have walked into that hornet's nest, but I still got to deal with it. So I have all this pressure on me. I got all these things going on. And you know what I have to do? I have to impress kids. I want to be applauded for the work that not only am I a really good convincing cat, I got to deal with Potter all year. None of the other teachers do. Sir Cadogan, he's just doing whatever he wants to do.
He's not a teacher.
I know, but he just does whatever he wants. I got the ghosts doing whatever they want. I got Snape coming around.
And you've got September 2nd.
And I've got it's the one day where I get to get an applause for all the crap that I have to go through every single year. And I didn't get it this year.
I'm so sorry,
and it's
Minnie.
Because of Trelawney.
Again.
Telling kids that they're going to croak. What are you doing? Come on, especially my kid. You want to tell some Hufflepuff that he's going to croak? No one will care. No one will care.
No one cared about Moaning Myrtle.
No one cared about Moaning Myrtle.
R.I.P. Too soon? Too soon?
Nobody cares about them. But you can't go telling Potter that he's going to die. He's Harry. You know what he is? I'm Harry
freaking Potter. You know what I'd love to know?
What?
If Trelawney said it to Cedric last year.
Ooh. That would be rough. And you know what? If that's the case, and I made a joke about these kids getting killed, doesn't age well. That no. joke does not age well.
No.
All right, NC, thank you so much. All right.
Yay!
Ladies and gents, it is now time for the listener questions. Of course.
Good job, Daddy.
Oh, thank you, my darling. Thank you. It is now time for these questions. Wow, that just threw me off. If you are listening on the podcast app, do not worry. You will... Uh-oh, what?
She just told me why she can't sleep.
Why can't she sleep?
Tell everybody why you're so excited.
About the COVID test.
Because we're getting our COVID tested tomorrow. Oh, nothing's wrong with her. We just like to do it routinely over the holidays.
Yes, yes. All right. So if you are listening on the podcast app, don't worry. You are not alone. You can send us an email and we will see those emails and we will read them on the air for the next podcast episode. It can be about the chapter we're talking about now. It can be about the previous chapter. It could be about anything you want. So send us an email. And if you're watching us live, well, please, right now, give us your questions and put a lightning bolt emoji in the comments right before the question so we know it is a question. Mom, are you ready for all the questions?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so the first email that we got is that it's not necessarily a question, but okay. It's a little bit of a suggestion.
Ooh, yes.
This one comes from Lynn. She says, Matthew Lewis of Neville Longbottle fame.
Yes.
Will be in the new PBS series, All Creatures Great and Small, starting in January. He's playing one of the villagers in the new series. You might check out the PBS website for more information.
Very cool. I love me some Matthew Lewis.
Yeah, and because he's
the dark horse.
He's foxy.
He's
foxy. Right now he
is. Well done. Well done, Matthew Lewis.
He had a good glow up.
He had a very good glow up. Aged like a fine wine.
So that is the first email that we got. And right now, I guess we'll start taking questions from all the live folks if they have any questions for us.
My question was, why do you think Arthur Weasley was at Azkaban for a day?
Because there was a rogue toaster. I think you gave a good answer, and that's going to be my headcanon. There was a guy with a toaster, and the toaster got legs and started running around, and you know he's trying to figure stuff out.
Yes,
trying to figure stuff out, man. My legs are just, speaking of legs, my legs are on fire right now because of all of our hiking today. Felicity, did you have fun hiking today? Say yes or no. Yeah, you did. What was your favorite part of hiking?
My favorite part when we were walking on the bridges and it was very fun.
It was fun? Yeah.
And walking on the lake on the sticks, it was very fun too.
Yeah, the half-submerged sticks that maybe some travelers had put down because there's usually not a river there. Yeah. Patricia Barron on YouTube asks, why would Hagrid get into trouble for Malfoy getting hurt when this is the first year Neville broke his arm after falling off his broom?
Well, I think that's something along the lines of like Hagrid just being very insecure about his role at the school. You know, and it's something that he's a first year teacher and he has his first experience as being a teacher where it's Malfoy getting hurt and it's Malfoy.
I think that's it. Had Malfoy fallen off the broom? I bet you. I bet you Madame Hooch would have been like, oh, guys, should I be nervous?
Right.
She'd be sitting there, you know, having her gin and tonic, like a little nervous about what was going on.
No, no. See, that's Professor Sprout.
Oh.
No. Madame Hooch, she's a bourbon lady, if you remember.
You're totally right.
She's a
bourbon.
You're totally right. Betty has fallen off of our computer here.
But I agree. It was Hagrid's first day teaching.
Yep.
And this was kind of like a last minute position. Makes you wonder if, you know, Dumbledore said like, listen, I know you're not like a real teacher, but we can kind of like emergency get you certified. Mm-hmm. You just have to make sure you're on your best behavior. Like nothing kind of shady can happen. Not great. Caitlin Marie asks, if you could take an extra class, what would it be?
It would be a history class of some sort.
With Professor Binns?
Because
he's the history teacher.
Oh, so we're doing it in the magical world, not in our world.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know enough about the teachers. Like, because none of them really appeal to me. Like, none of them really appeal to me. Because, like, potions, I'm not a potions guy, but I like Snape. But I'm not sure if I want to take an extra class with Snape.
Oh, my God. Like, I don't love Snape, but I sure would have loved potions. I would have loved potions so much. Like,
you are a potions girl. You are totally
sure
a potions
precise.
Girl.
I also would have loved to see if I could take an elective with the house elves in the kitchen and make, like, magical dinners, because I am not great at dinner. So if I can have that bibbidi bobbidi beef bourguignon, like,
yep,
teach me that as an elective, pass fail, I don't care. It doesn't need to be like an A, anything like that. Just hang out in the kitchens.
By the way, get your bibbidi bobbidi beef bourguignon shirt at themaryandblakestore.com. Anna here asks, what about Flitwick's class? Maybe. Sure.
I feel like he wouldn't be an extra one. I feel like that's one that you'd have to continue to keep taking.
Victoria asks, what about magical baking?
That's what I'm talking about, Victoria.
Yeah.
That's potions, but in the oven.
We need Tammy for that. Tammy would come right in there and give us some magical baking baking courses, which we definitely do need. Angela says she loved Emma Thompson playing the role of Trelawney.
Professor Trelawney.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love Trelawney in the films, and Emma Thompson is great, and I love that she comes back later on in the series to fill out that role later on. So I was big on that. All right, so I think that is it for now. So as a reminder, ladies and gents, we will be doing the next chapter next week. Monday next week we'll be doing chapter 7. And that is because we're fulfilling a little bit of a fun podcast here with Bridgerton, which is on Netflix. And we will be doing Bridgerton, I think, at least every day this week, which I'm really excited about.
Bridgerton will be on its own podcast feed available to the public. It will not be a podcast that is put necessarily in the Potterverse or Outlandercast or any of our other podcast feeds. It will be its own podcast feed. So keep your eyes on our social media as we'll be letting you know when it is available and up in iTunes.
Yeah, we'll have it on Apple Podcasts now, Mary. Come on, gotta get the branding right.
Sorry.
It will be up at maryandblake.com as soon as tomorrow. And as a matter of fact, if you are a member at jointhenerdclan.com, you will get the first episode of Bridgerton with Mary and Blake tonight. We'll have early access to it. So if you're watching us live and you want to hear us wax poetic about Bridgerton, you can get that access tonight as soon as it is completed right after this. But if you, when it goes public, it will be at maryandblake.com. And then within a few days, it will be up on Apple Podcasts once it finally gets approved by those nerds over at Apple. And that'll be that. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out, Marvin?
Yes.
Let's do it.
So much for tuning in to the Potterverse. We're excited to continue to go through this incredibly exciting book, The Prisoner of Azkaban. As always, please email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com with your questions or comments, as we make this show not only because we love talking about Potter, but we love talking about Potter with you. And that being said, not only can you email us, but we want you to join in live, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. You can actually join us live next Monday night, 8:30 8:15 Eastern PM is when we're going to be going live. And of course, you can sign up for our complimentary text reminder service by going to remind.com/join/elderwand ELDERWAND.
And of course, go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the podcasts that we have there, whether it is Outlander Cast or This Is Us 2, which is coming back on January 6th, that our podcast will premiere. So the show starts on the 5th, and our podcast, isn't it the 4th?
The 5th is when the show comes back.
Yeah, and our podcast will come back on the 6th.
Yes.
So, and we have a whole bunch of other stuff that's happening over there, and I'm very excited about it.
Awesome. From that note, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
My name's Felicity.
Mischief Managed.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.